Theme 8. Bees have been entwined with our history since the appearance of the earliest humans, but bees were here long before us. The first bees evolved from wasps about 125 million years ago, shifting from predators to gatherers of nectar and pollen from flowers. These early bees were solitary, nesting in hollow twigs or in soil, and were notable for branched hairs that trapped pollen grains when a bee visited a flower. From these hairs, the pollen was, and still is, transferred to other flowers on subsequent visits, thereby pollinating, fertilizing, the plant's seed. Flowers secrete nectar and/or excess pollen as a food reward to interest the bees, the nectar providing carbohydrates and the pollen protein. This evolutionary innovation led to an explosion in the diversity and abundance of advanced plants, coinciding with that of bees and eventually to the biosphere we know today. More than 20,000 known species of bees currently live on every continent except Antarctica, displaying a breathtaking array of lifestyles. Some are solitary. Others live in loose communal groups or form highly complex societies. They nest in sandy soil, hard dirt, abandoned rodent nests, and hollow twigs, stems, and tree trunks. Their flower-visiting habits range from omnivorous, taking nectar and pollen from a wide range of flowers, to obligate relationships, in which a plant species can be pollinated by only one bee species, which in turn visits only that plant's flowers. These diverse species are vitally important to human economies and to the world's welfare because of their pollinating role in both agricultural and natural ecosystems. Their global economic value for agriculture was estimated at $217 billion U.S. dollars in 2008, with about one-third of all crops benefiting from or dependent on insect pollination, mostly by bees. Without bees, we would have a vastly diminished grocery, missing most of the fruits, vegetables, berries, and nuts that we depend on for a healthy, balanced diet. Bees' value to natural ecosystems as pollinators is incalculable. We can price the pollination services that nature provides for crop production, but it's more challenging to monetize the full range of services provided by the rich palette of plants that depend on bees. The dependency of other organisms on bee-pollinated plants is broad, including food and shelter for innumerable feral animals, the conversion of carbon dioxide into oxygen, which maintains the Earth's life-supporting atmosphere, the role of plants in stabilizing soil and preventing erosion, and many other functions. Perhaps one way to assess the worth of bees for nature is to consider the extent to which advanced plants, angiosperms, depend on them for pollination. At the University of Northampton, Jeff Ullerton, who studies ecosystem valuation, reports that 20% of all angiosperms can be pollinated only by bees, while another 45% are pollinated by bees as well as by the wind or other animals, mostly beetles, moths, butterflies, birds, and bats. That is 65%, or 229,000 of the 352,000 species currently known, require or benefit from bee pollination. Clearly, any significant drop in bee populations will have repercussions that go far beyond the loss of bees. A world without bees would be almost impossible to contemplate, and likely one in which we would never have evolved in the first place. The array of wild bees is staggering, with lifestyles and habits that fascinate any lover of natural history. Among my personal favorites are the giant orchid bees, huge metallic bees that make a deafening buzzing noise as they wend their way through tropical jungles seeking the specific orchid flowers that each species pollinates. One of their most interesting habits is scent collection from flowers by the males, which then use these scents to attract females. At the other end of the Earth's climate zones are the bumblebees, common in temperate latitudes, found high up in alpine zones, and within 600 miles of the North Pole, at the northernmost points of land adjoining the Arctic Ocean. These bees have superbly adapted to cold climates, surviving freezing temperatures and even snow by disconnecting their wings and heating up their flight muscles to high temperatures by shivering. They nest in colonies with a queen and a few hundred to a few thousand workers. Each colony dies every fall. New queens, which are produced in late summer, leave the nest, find protected cavities in which to overwinter as solitary individuals, and then found their own colonies in the spring. The stingless bees are another unusual group. 500 or so tropical and subtropical species that, over evolutionary time, have lost their stings. These social bees build large nests in hollow tree trunks or underground cavities, where they store nectar and pollen and rear their young in egg-shaped pots constructed from wax they produce in special glands. Although they cannot sting, they are hardly defenseless, having evolved jaws and associated venom sacs that deliver bites at least as painful as the stings of other bee species. Less heralded but ecologically crucial are myriad solitary bees, generally small and unobserved, but providing the blue-collar pollination work required for ecosystems to thrive. Only the keenest observers will see these minute bees darting from flower to flower, returning to provision a few eggs with a paste of nectar and pollen before sealing the nests to let their young mature, hidden from predators and parasites. But when we think of bee, it's usually honeybees that come to mind, since they are certainly the bees with which we have had the most interactions. They are gloriously social, producers of honey, source of much art and story, and deeply ingrained in many aspects of human economy and lore. We are intimately connected. Our and their prosperity is closely linked to each other's well-being.